Here at The Blessed Business, we believe that Christian business leaders can make a huge positive impact on our world today through business as mission. That is why we are committed to empowering Christian entrepreneurs to launch and grow blessed businesses. For more tools and resources, go to www.theblessedbusiness.com today. And if you are enjoying the content here on the podcast, please share it with someone you know who would appreciate it as well. Thank you and be blessed. Today, it is my honor and privilege to have Ryan Franklin on the show with me. Thank you, Ryan, for taking the time to have this conversation with us today.
Thank you, Hunter. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, for those that don't know, Ryan is the assistant pastor at the Pentecostals of Alexandria in Alexandria, Louisiana. He is an executive coach to pastors and Christian leaders. He has more than 25 years of personal development and leadership experience, both in business and in churches. He graduated from Liberty University with a master's degree in pastoral counseling. My wife actually graduated from Liberty University as well, so we really, really like that school. And he also hosts the Christian Leader Made Simple podcast, a great podcast. I definitely recommend checking that out. And to top it all off, he's now a published author, and his new book is coming out here in just a few weeks. It's called The Christian Leader Blueprint, and I believe it's being released the first week of August. Is that correct, Ryan?
That's correct, August 3rd, but it is available, Bone, for pre-sale currently.
Okay. Yeah, I actually went on to Amazon, and I'll leave a link in the show notes, but I was able to pre-order my copy, and I'm excited to start digging into the content of it. And that's part of the reason why I wanted to have him on to this podcast is because I struggle with waiting. I'm not a very patient person, so I wanted to get a little bit of a sneak peek. And so he was so gracious and kind to jump on this interview, this podcast interview with me, so we could kind of talk about the framework that he's developed, this model to help Christian leaders go to the next level. So Ryan, why don't you start us off by giving a little bit of background on you and kind of how this all came together, what motivated you to write this book, and then maybe we can dig into the framework and the model that you've developed from there.
That sounds great, Hunter. Well, I won't take you all the way back, but I'll take you a little ways back. I was assisting a pastor with the ministries of the church at POA for many, many years, 11 years or so. And when that pastor left, I was promoted as a pastor of the church and was handed quite a few ministries. And as I was sorting through trying to figure out how to lead those ministries effectively, how to develop leaders, I found myself in a very inadequate place and just searching for how to be able to juggle all that was on my plate and to be able to effectively grow leaders and develop the ministries that I was leading. And so I was searching. I couldn't find anything. And one of my friends told me about an executive coach that he was using that was just changing his world. So he had my attention. I started looking into it, and I quickly wrote that off my list because it was so expensive. And 3 or 4 months after that, I was still searching, and I was in a desperate place, even burnout. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet and pay the price and do the executive coaching. So I spent a year with Dr. Brian Epperson. He was my executive coach. He did a phenomenal job, and it literally changed my life. It was a tremendous experience. And towards the end of that experience, I asked him if he could leave me a few minutes at the end of my session to talk about something that was on my heart that I felt like I wanted to talk to him about. And so he did. And we talked, I asked him, I said, so what do I need to do what you're doing? Do I need to go back to school? What do I need to do? And he said, well, Ryan, you know, school may be a good thing for you at some point, but he said, I want to personally take you under my wing and teach you how to do this.
That's awesome.
So that began a journey. Yeah, that began a journey that that was just an amazing thing. Let me back up and just say, at first I said, thank you, Dr. Epperson. I appreciate your willingness to help me, but I can't afford your fees anymore. And he said, no, Ryan, you don't understand. I want to do this for you, and I'm not going to charge you a dime.
Wow, so, that's awesome. That's the heart of a mentor, really. Someone who's wanting to seize the hunger and the desire and the passion in you and was willing to invest in that and cultivate that so that you could then in turn go and help others.
No doubt. It was an amazing opportunity for me. And so that led me down the road of learning executive coaching, and my poor first couple of clients that volunteered to, I didn't even charge them. Thankfully, I didn't charge them. They probably should have charged me.
Your first couple of customers teach you where all your issues are, what your problems are, and how to actually get your act together.
Exactly. But that led a journey of me learning. And then I went to Townsend Institute in Concordia University in California online and got my executive coaching certificate through them. So the combination of Dr. Epperson's mentoring and this certificate and the things that I learned there was just amazing. And that set me on the right path of being able to coach my clients effectively. And over the years of coaching many clients, I started seeing a pattern of things that they were dealing with and ways that I was helping them. And I would record that. And at some point I sat down and I literally graphed out and put this stuff in a graph, and it was an Excel document actually, and tried to make some sense of all of the things I was seeing. And after just grappling with it and literally grappling with it in prayer, even, I eventually came to the conclusion of the Christian Leader Blueprint model. Lots of steps, lots of input from different people, including Dr. Epperson and resources that I had at Townsend and fellow executive coaching friends that I had, getting input from a lot of different places, the Christian Leader Blueprint finally emerged. And here we are today. And the blueprint, as I guess probably 2.5 years ago, I did a lead generator, which is available still to this day for free on my website. It's about a 25-page short guide, kind of an short explanation of the Christian Leader Blueprint model. I started writing at that point on a book. I knew it was much more than just a PDF on a website.
Well, and speaking of that PDF, I downloaded that PDF, and I really recommend it to anyone who's wanting to at least learn a little bit more about this. Obviously, you should pre-order the book. I did. But if you're not going to do that, at least go and download this, because there's a lot of good resources in here. I was highlighting and highlighting and highlighting, and I was like, well, there's no more words to highlight on this page, so I have to go to the next page. So it's packed full of content. So I think that's awesome that you put this resource together and offer it for free. I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you for pointing that out. Yeah. So 2.5 years into writing a book, it's finally August 3rd will be out, and it goes into a lot more depth, obviously, than the PDF. It's about a 300-page book, and it's a step-by-step guide to leadership transformation.
That is incredible. Well, let's talk a little bit about the framework and kind of the model itself, and kind of give us, again, just a broad strokes of kind of like how someone can apply this, what the different elements are, and kind of what the value is going to be if they apply this in their life.
Yeah. So the model has four parts to it, four mm-hmm. major parts to it, and each one of those parts has a topic, actually has four topics that would support that major pillar. And it's a total of 16 topics within the blueprint. Mm-hmm. And I have found that if a person will focus on these 16 things in their life, not all at one time, but maybe just sure. choose one. It helps, one, it gives you a plan and helps guide you as to what you need to focus on. It's not haphazard, you know, just finding the best book you can find on the, you know, top of the Amazon list or whatever. It's focused growth on particular topics that will change your life, that I know will change your life. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the four pillars are: establish a better rhythm of life, see yourself more clearly, leverage your strengths, and build more productive relationships.
So again, and I'm looking at this on the handout that I downloaded, you said establish a better rhythm of life. Mm-hmm. The second one is see yourself more clearly, build more productive relationships, and leverage your strengths. Did I get that right?
That's correct. I generally will say leverage your strengths, then build more productive relationships.
Gotcha. Okay.
But you're right.
It's
actually the model, the image of the model, I put in a Venn diagram because they do overlap yes. so much. Mm-hmm. The one will feed the other, and it's there's a lot of overlap in within the model. So I felt the Venn diagram represented it the best.
Sure. Well, tell us a little bit about each of the different four pillars and what we need to kind of consider as okay. far as if we're taking these and we're starting to do some self-evaluation, maybe what's a question we can ask ourselves based on each one of these four pillars?
Yeah. So I find that most people will present themselves to me, for instance, will inquire about executive coaching, or same thing for me in my life, why I inquired executive coaching was because my life was a wreck. My yeah. rhythm of life, my work-life balance was just crazy. And with that, you know, some of the worst parts of me would come out at various times. My mm-hmm. my family would sometimes cringe when I would get home, not knowing what type of, you know, not knowing what version of their dad or their of their husband they would get when he'd drive up in the driveway. And
which isn't healthy, right?
which is not healthy at all. But it was a result of just a terrible work-life balance. And mm-hmm. I can remember as a kid, my grandfather would call me into he had two recliners in his little room that he'd sit in, and he'd call me in and say, tell me to sit down, and I'd sit down, and he'd talk to me for a little while, but inevitably he would always tell me, Ryan, if you don't work hard, you're never going to amount to anything. And so what do you think I did, Hunter?
You probably worked really hard.
I've worked really hard all my life. And not that that's a bad thing. I love to work hard, but I had zero balance in that.
Well, and as a child of God, we realize that, yes, we are destined to work. I mean, even if you go back to the Garden of Eden, we talk about this when we talk about business as mission. Even in a perfect world in the Garden of Eden, what was man's duty? It was to work. He was to tend and keep the garden, right? He was to manage it, to grow it, for it to expand over the entire earth. So his number in the perfect state of man is to work. And so work is a good thing, but at the same time, if it's not combined with balance in all the other areas, then something yeah. that we feel is truly part of our calling and what we're supposed to do, it is part of our nature. But at the same time, if it's anything out of balance, is not healthy. And I think a lot of people will use that as a way to cop out of other areas of their life, even maybe not even intentionally, but subconsciously, yeah. they're kind of shoving other areas of their life that they're either not equipped to deal with, or they don't know how to deal with, or they don't want to deal with, and they focus on the work aspect of it. And sometimes it's that, and sometimes, like you said, it's more of a drive, a guilt, or just an ambition. And again, all those things in healthy doses are good, but when they're out of balance, it can lead to a lot of negative things.
You're exactly right, Hunter. And I'm not going to get too much in sure. detail and work-life balance here, but it's so important that individuals find a balance between work, rest, play, and worship. That's the four mm-hmm. components of a good work-life balance, of a good healthy life balance. is work, rest, play, and worship. And
that's awesome.
That's a vital aspect of a person's healthy life. But there's other components of that rhythm of life that I have found that if people do not have these things, then their rhythm is going to be out of balance. And I like to use the analogy of a metronome. You know, a metronome is going to be in rhythm. It's going to swing out, but it's always going to swing back in. And there's going to be times in our life when we are out of rhythm. However, we've got to know what to swing back into. Mm-hmm. And that's critical. And these are the things within the blueprint that help a person swing back into a good rhythm. And first thing is that work-life balance. The second thing is vision's role in our life. If we do not have, and I'm not talking about an organizational vision, I'm talking about a personal vision. Where is my life headed? And what am I working towards? What do I see down the road, maybe 3 to 5 years from now, that I would like to work towards? And if somebody does not have that, they often have a hard time keeping a good rhythm. Then routines and goals are an important part of aspect of life that will help you swing out, you know, times of vacation, times of hard, you know, hard work season or something. Maybe you got a couple of weeks of publishing a book or finishing up a book, and
sure,
but you've got to be able to swing back to those normal routines mm-hmm. and goals. And then the final part of rhythm of life, this is a much deeper thing that encompasses just about every aspect of our life, and that's character growth. And that's a huge thing. And I'm not talking about just morals there. Morals sure. may play a part, but this is a deeper thing of bonding and boundaries and adulthood and integration of reality, those sorts of things that are really a vital thing. And in fact, character growth is one of the major things that I spend a significant amount of time with an individual working on to help them function much better in their everyday life. As an executive coach, I spend a lot of time working on those things. So that's sort of in a nutshell, that's establish a better rhythm of life.
Okay. And so then the next one would be see yourself more clearly, correct? That's the next component of the model.
Yes. See yourself more clearly. And, you know, there's a lot of talk in the world today about clarity of mind. And that is a big piece of see yourself more clearly. It's hard to see anything if your mind is foggy.
Sure.
And so learning more about how to keep a good, clear mind is an important aspect of seeing yourself more clearly. And then emotional intelligence. The business world has embraced emotional intelligence to a high degree because they understand just how important it is and how it impacts a person's bottom line. If a high level leader, C-suite leader of a business, or a pastor or a high level church leader, if they have a good emotional intelligence, they're going to be able to interact with individuals. They're going to know themselves really well. They're going to be able to interact with others extremely well. And it's just going to make a huge difference in their effectiveness, their enjoyment, but also their effectiveness as a leader. Now, emotional intelligence, again, overlaps a lot of these topics of the rest, a lot of the other topics sure. of the blueprint. But I felt it was very important to kind of unpack that as a single one of those 16 topics. Mm-hmm. Then motivation. You have to know what drives you, what gets you up every morning, what gives you energy. If you don't know what motivates you at its core, and that could be a variety of things for some people, such as I would assume yourself, you and I have not had these conversations, but you're driven by business and finance, obviously. Sure.
That's kind of the whole point of the Blessed Business Podcast.
Exactly. Some people are driven by, say, amusement. They mm-hmm. love to have fun. And other people are driven by a cause, maybe the cause of the gospel. Other sure. people are driven by humanitarian efforts or things of that nature. we're all driven by different things. And I believe that the Lord hardwired us that way so that we can make a complete team, so that we can pursue various things, different things. But the more we understand that about ourselves, the more we can really focus on key things that are going to keep us motivated for the long run.
No, I totally agree. That's awesome. Now, another one you have on here is leadership derailers. I'm real curious what that is. I had to jump in and ask. So tell us a little bit more about the leadership derailers. What gets people off track, I guess?
This is another thing that I really work with leaders on for a extended period of time. You know, you can help people understand their strengths and their weaknesses fairly quickly. Within a couple of hours, I can work with somebody and really unpack that. Leadership risk or derailers a lot of times is much harder. For one, they're blind spots. A lot of times people don't even see that they're exhibiting these behaviors. But for two, they're so hardwired in us. They're defenses within us. Like a lot of it roots from childhood of origin. Maybe they had a traumatic experience or a parent treated them in a certain way. There's a lot of reasons why these things could surface, but it could be things like passive aggressive behavior or egotistical behavior, or maybe this is my personal risk that I struggle with is hypermoodiness, or maybe it's perfectionism. That was another one of mine. A third one of mine that I've worked really hard to overcome is detachment. So when I'm tired and stressed, these are the things that are going to come out of me. I'm going to get moody. I'm going to turn into a perfectionist. That's unhealthy, and I'm going to want to detach from people. But because I understand that, because I have a good knowledge of that, I'm able to, one, reel it back and use some willpower to catch myself, and I've got tactics that I use to overcome those things. But then also, I've worked really hard for character growth, on my character growth, to actually overcome and heal some of those wounds in my past and be able to become much more, I guess, less apt to have these things exhibit in my life. Does that make sense?
Well, absolutely. And awareness, like you said, is huge, because I remember one person told me one time, he said, "You don't know what you don't know." Right?
Exactly.
And so if you don't know, it's this unknown factor out there that you're just kind of bobbing along in society, and you're just going along in your business, or you're leading your life, and you don't realize there's this big thing that other people can see a lot of times. And you know that something's there because it causes you issues. You just don't realize exactly what the root of it is. But when you take time to really do some introspection and get to the point where you can see, I love how you said this, see yourself more clearly. We think we see ourselves pretty clear. You know, we look in the mirror and we wipe the fog off and we're like, okay, I can see myself clearly. But you have to go way deeper than just the surface to be able to truly dig into these things you're talking about. And I think that a lot of people that are good Christian leaders, good business leaders, like you said, they get derailed at different times and they can't figure out why they keep getting off track. And the reason is because they haven't been able to dig down and see themselves clearly, and so that they can create those strategies or those tactics and raise that awareness to be able to combat these tendencies.
Right. Definitely. It's so important. So that's the four areas of see yourself more clearly. And the better we see ourselves, the more effective we're going to be in the environments that we frequent in. And you know, typically, Hunter, I'm a good person. It's just when I'm tired and stressed that some of the worst of me comes out. And, and years ago, when I was not aware of those things, those are just little things. They may not completely damage a relationship, but it's going to chip away. And it may be a little moodiness here, maybe a little passive aggressive behavior here, and it just sort of chips away. And over time, if you chip away too much, it drastically impacts the effectiveness of your leadership. And so the more that we see ourselves more clear, the more that we see ourselves clearly,
sure,
the better off we're going to be.
That's awesome. Which you can then turn a weakness and you can turn it into a strength, or go from, instead of that being a drag you down, kind of an anchor that's weighing you down in your progress, then you can kind of work on that. And then you can go to the next part, which is leverage your strengths. It really sets you up to really take advantage of your strengths a lot better when you don't have those things weighing you down, weighing down your relationships, weighing down your leadership skills and abilities.
Yeah, you're exactly right, which leads to our next part of the blueprint, the leverage your strengths. Four things there as well. The first one is your calling. It's important to know what the Lord has called you to do. And I believe, you know, there's times where the Lord may push you in areas that are not part of your hardwired strengths. He may push you at times in your weaknesses to show his strength. But for the most part, I believe that the Lord has designed you, has equipped you, has allowed you to grow up in the childhood of origin that you've been in, has allowed you to walk down the road and get the education that you've gotten and all of those things, because he has called you to something specific. Mm-hmm. Your life was not haphazard. There was a plan. And I believe that zeroing in on that calling is super important, because it's going to line up with a lot of things, a lot of history of your life, and make a major impact on leveraging your strengths.
I believe that.
And then the second thing is giftings. Did mm-hmm. you have something you wanted to say?
No, I was going to say, you know, finding your calling, it can seem very vague when people just talk about find your calling. But when you take the time to kind of figure out some of these other elements, then you have the mental space and the ear to be able to hear God's voice and to feel those nudges to be able to answer that call. And so I think that's why the whole model works together. I just was kind of making that observation. Yeah. You can't just pick one piece, and if you try it, it helps. But I'm starting to see how that kind of all builds together. And that's why you need the whole plan, because one kind of leads into the other. But please proceed.
You're exactly right. The better we zero, for instance, the better we zero in on our calling, the better rhythm of life we're going to be able to pursue.
Yes.
The more productive relationships we will have if we're doing things that are in line with our calling, that make us happy, that bring energy to us, which leads us to our giftings as well. Mm-hmm. And it's very closely related. But giftings, I like to look at that as, you know, you've got spiritual gifts, obviously, but I like to look at this as practical, natural gifts, strengths and weaknesses of ourselves. The more we see ourselves clearly and understand those pieces of ourselves, the better off we are, because really that is more about energy management than anything else. My two greatest gifts are, one, my highest is my leadership energy, my ability to take charge, to be competitive, to have a vision for life, etc. My leadership energy is my number one gift. My second one is my prudence. I have an ability to get things done, to put wheels to a vision, to systematically work through things over a long period of time and not get derailed very easily. This I plan. I'm not a rule breaker, so to speak.
You probably have a calendar and follow it.
I have a calendar and I follow it very closely, but that's my gifts.
Sure.
However, I'm not gifted at ideas. I don't have a high idea fluency. I'm not gifted at extroverted things. I struggle with extroverted tasks. I don't like throwing parties. There's a lot of aspects of my life that, another thing, I'm not compassionate. I have a generated compassion. I have a spirit-filled compassion.
God's helping you to be compassionate.
He's helping me to be compassionate, but I've also worked to not let that weakness be in the ditch as well. But I recognize that. I know that that's not my strength. So I've got to take all those things into consideration when I'm determining what my job looks like, what career I'm pursuing. You know, of course, calling plays a big role into that, but also my giftings play a huge role, and I want to leverage the things that I'm good at most.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, one thing on that I was going to say is, and I actually mentioned this in the launch course that I talk about, is finding there's a lot of, which I'm probably the exact opposite. My calendar is totally a penciled in, like, tentative operation. Like, I just move things around as needed. It's like a bunch of sticky notes. It's not actual appointments. And so, but the other thing though is I am an idea person. So I come up with ideas. My wife says I come up with a new business idea about every 38 minutes. And so I've had about four since we've been talking, and I'm trying to shut it down. This is just how I am. But a lot of the things you talked about, I struggle with.
Yeah, you need somebody like me in your life.
Yes, yet, I do.
Yet I need somebody like you in my life.
Yes.
You know,
I don't
generate those ideas very well. Mm-hmm. Yet, execution of those ideas, you can get derailed because you have so many
all
ideas.
The time.
And it's important that we have a team that has a balanced, and knowing our strengths and knowing our weaknesses, we can actually build a team that does have a balanced approach. Now, we may drive each other crazy.
Yes.
Yet at the same time, we're going to have a much more impactful team because we have a balanced team, because we know our strengths and weaknesses.
Well, I agree. And that's, you know, it's interesting that my wife, she is a lot of that for me. And it's amazing how opposites attract.
Yeah.
But she has helped me so much. But I do drive her a little bit crazy. But that what I was talking about, the idea is being able to recognize that it took me so long to figure that out and say, you know, it's okay to play to my strengths and not set myself up for failure. In the launch course that I've been releasing with the Blessed Business, we talk about how finding the right idea, because there may be any number of ideas, but find the one that fits you. And I think that's so important. And that's I'm glad that's part of your model as well here, because that's a huge part of finding your strengths. I didn't put it in that context. Mm-hmm. So this kind of adds a layer to that. But understanding that your giftings and your talents and your calling, that is a strength. So play to those strengths. Don't just overlook that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So third part of leverage your strengths is leading others. This is a component of this is the majority of the leadership books out there that would talk on communication, mm-hmm. good communication, conflict resolution, you know, aspects of leadership that are super important. But generally that's all that people focus on. Mm-hmm. is that leading others well part, and they leave out all of the other 15 things or the majority of the 15 things. They may grab a few, but this is the one that most people gravitate to the most. And so that is a very important aspect of being an effective leader. However, it's just one part of it. And then developing others is the fourth of leveraging your strengths. And that's just a vital piece. If you're going to have a thriving organization that is ongoing, that's growing, and also for the future, you've got to be able to develop others and have a plan for that, not just haphazardly develop others.
Sure. Well, and so once you've done those, the last part of the model is build more productive relationships, correct?
That's correct.
So how do we do that? What's the four parts of that?
Well, you do all of the other three things first.
Right. No shortcuts.
No shortcuts. This is a super important thing that all of the other parts of the blueprint will point towards. Yet this one points to all of the other parts of the blueprint as well. And first part of that is social intelligence, which is a subset of emotional intelligence. However, it is important enough that it needs to stand alone as well. And there's some aspects of that is vital to leadership. Self-regulation, that's a second part, is you know, obviously, if we can't regulate ourselves, sometimes our anger will get the best of us. Other emotions will get the best of us. And so we've got to have methods of being able to regulate ourselves and get back into a good to a good place as we encounter and interact in our in the spaces that we interact in. Then learn empathy. This is that part of Hunter that I was talking about. I have a very low compassion. Well, I've been able to learn how to have more empathy for people. And whether you have a high compassion, a naturally high compassion or not, this aspect of life is such a vital, or leadership is such a vital piece. It's, if you have empathy with somebody you're leading, it makes a world of difference. And I'm not just talking about any general, empathy, but really diving into the subject and really using it in ways that can bring healing to relationships and really help you function well and communicate well with an individual.
That's good.
There's a lot that we could go into there with that, but I won't go into it too deeply today. But the last part of that is building your personal support team. Mm-hmm. Now, this is one that I feel is most left off. This is one that most people think that they have, yet it is the one that is most left off, even with those that think that they have it. And this is something that, you know, I've always had friends all of my life, but Jesus had a tighter inner circle. He had the 12, but he had a tighter inner circle. Mm-hmm. And it's, we have to have this personal support team that we can be transparent and vulnerable with, that we can unpack things with, that we can talk about emotions with, that we can talk about, you know, business ideas with,
right,
whatever the case may be. But it is vital that we have some sort of support. And I'm gonna tell you this, Hunter, most people think, well, I've got my wife and my dog. Well, your wife and your dog is important. But if you're putting all of your emotional junk on your wife,
it's not healthy.
It's not fair. It's not healthy and it's not fair.
I like you said it's not fair because it's not their job to carry that extra burden when you don't back up your dump truck and load offload on them every night.
And here's the deal, Hunter. A lot of times your spouse is carrying the same emotional junk that you may be carrying. Mm-hmm. But when we have a personal support team. Now, my wife is my number one support team, and she hears just about everything that I would go through. She's going to hear it. However, sometimes it's after the fact. Sometimes I've called a life team member and talked through it with one of them, and then I let her know what's going on with me, because I want her to feel like I've got support beyond her. I want her to feel like that she is not carrying the weight of everything within me.
She's not responsible for carrying you're the burden that you have alone, where it distributes the load, where everyone can kind of help each other in a kind of a community effort here. And everyone needs that support team. No one's too big to not need a support team.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. There's a lot more we could cover there and a lot more that is covered in the book, and would recommend people getting that and really diving into particularly that piece, because I see it most often left out in a person's leadership. But that's it. That's the blueprint model. Establish a better rhythm of life. See yourself more clearly. Leverage your strengths and build more productive relationships. And the end result of that is, first of all, more enjoyment of leadership. But then the reality of it is you're going to be a much more effective leader. You're going to grow your organization. You're going to grow your business. You're going to grow your church. Wherever you find yourself leading, you're going to act. If you do these things, if you work on growing these things, it will make an impact. And here's a side benefit, Hunter. It's going to change your home life. It's going to change your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids. It'll absolutely change. It's a holistic approach to growing your influence and leadership.
Well, I believe, I think I may go pre-order another copy. I'm so pumped and excited about this because I need every one of those things. And I've read a lot of books on this and a lot of things that you've kind of mentioned, kind of referred to. I've read, you know, Boundaries. I've read Emotional Intelligence, Relational Intelligence, a lot of these different books. But I haven't really seen a book that kind of brought it into this framework, this model like you've done, that really breaks it down and brings that awareness to the different areas and make sure that we understand how they're all connected and kind of how the pieces come together. So thank you for putting this out there. It's needed. And I know I need it. I know people listening to this podcast, I need it. And so thank you so much for both the conversation today and kind of giving this sneak peek of kind of what the blueprint is all about, but then also for developing this content and putting out your podcast episodes and the resources that you've generated on your website and the work that you do. It's valued and appreciated.
Well, thank you, Hunter. And I just want to mention that this can, looking at these 16 topics can be a little bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Because it is a lot. However, it's comprehensive and it's essentially giving you the topics that if you will systematically kind of work through these things, it will change your life. These are the 16 things you need to work through. Mm-hmm. And knowing though that it is a lot, it is 16 topics. I have developed a self-assessment that I have on my website.
Okay.
Right now until August 3rd, I have it as a bonus. If you purchase a book, all you have to do is purchase one book. You can go on my website and submit the ticket number, and I will send you a link to the self-assessment. And it basically rates the person on these 16 things. And so it identifies what in my life of these 16 things, what are the top three growth opportunities for me? Whether it be work-life balance or it be motivation, or maybe I need to work on discovering my calling, whatever the case may be, it will rate you on that and point you in the direction of things that you need to focus on. Hmm. And the book will actually introduce you to the topic and even get into some thorough practical things within the topic. But then, you know, like you mentioned, there's some great books out there such as Boundaries and
yes,
different books. People Fuel was a book that by John Townsend that, mm-hmm. that really shaped my mindset on support teams.
Really?
And so there's lots of books out there. You can use this model as a guiding piece to your development and then resource from other places as well.
So you can use this to create your own blueprint and then take the assessment and see what areas need to work on. And then you can kind of go and find other resources to kind of deep dive on those areas that need the most attention and focus.
Yeah, you start with the book. The book will provide, you know, weeks, if not months, of content for you to dive into and digest. But when you're done with that, if you still feel like you need help with work-life balance, you know, then you go and you seek out opportunities, books, and you know, blogs or whatever on work-life balance. But it gives you a very thorough plan to be able to work through the items that are necessary to grow your leadership effectiveness.
Hmm. I believe it. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, being able to jump on this podcast with us today. And thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in. It's because of you that we actually have a podcast, is all the people that are out there, the Blessed Business Tribe. And so if you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did and the content that Ryan has developed, be sure to share this with someone who would benefit from this content as well. Be sure to check out his website. What's the website, Ryan?
RyanFranklin.org.
RyanFranklin.org. So check that out. Be sure to pre-order the book and order it. If you're listening to this episode later on in the future, just go on Amazon and buy it. And then check out the assessment on his website and use this as a framework, as a tool in your toolbox, as a Christian leader, as a business leader, as someone who's looking to develop themselves to maximize their benefit to the kingdom of God and be the best that they can be. then this is something that you can put in your toolbox and start working on. Like you said, you don't have to do everything and fix everything all today, tomorrow, or this week, but it can basically be your path to creating your own journey towards being a better you and being a better leader. So again, thank you so much for Ryan for being with us today. And thank you guys for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share this with a friend, and tune in next time.